So over the last few days, I got to steal our seniors, or a lot of them, and we went on a trip, which was pretty awesome, for a couple days. And at the end of our trip, we got together and we just talked about some stuff and read scripture together and prayed. And I asked the seniors that if they were to leave you with something to their peers, other people that they look to, what would you say? And they've spent some time and they've gotten God's word and they've prayed. And so they've come up with some things that they would like to leave to you guys tonight. And so I'm going to ask them, they're going to come up just a couple minutes apiece and they're going to share some stuff with you. And keep your minds open, because some of the stuff that they're going to share are some things that they've just gone through that you guys are just about to go through. Okay, so they might have some really good words. So pay attention. Who wants to be the first? Mabit, did you tell me? So Justin Mabit, come on up.
Hola, everyone. My name is Mabit, or Justin Mabit, or whatever. I'm going to read from you from Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And it's something that I've had a lot of problems with growing up, because, you know, kids with ADHD, we're crazy. And just ask them. They just spent like 3 days with me. And, like, without the medicine, it's really hard to control, and that's just one of the things I'm trying to learn right now before I can actually join the military, which is what I plan on doing. But verse 6 through 8, it says, "Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." What it's pretty much saying is, like, don't be crazy. Like, when you're going through school, like, I really had this problem. Like, the days I did not take my medicine, I would be crazy. I didn't do any of my work, just couldn't concentrate. And, like, it really dropped my grades down. I almost did not graduate this year. I failed my English exam. My teacher gave me an A. I love her. But, what was that? Okay, but, like, verse 6 just wants you to, like, teach others through your actions. Don't be that guy who wants to go out and party. Like, don't do what your friends do. Like, if they tell you that doing drugs and drinking is cool like that, don't do it. Don't listen to them. Just do what God tells you to do through everything, and show God through everything you do. Because I can honestly say I have not been doing that, like, when I went through school. And it's just something, like, I really, really need to change. And I've been trying my hardest, and God's been helping me with it. I've been praying about it, and I've actually been starting to read my Bible more. And, like, for verse 8, when it says, "A soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may not be ashamed, may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Just live your life for God. Don't let people have anything bad to say about God because they see God through you and all the nice things you do for other people. Like, if you say you're a Christian, don't go partying with your friends. Say no, or at least try to get your friends to stop partying. Like, let them know that you love them no matter what. And, like, you'll still be their friend even if they do stuff like that. But yeah, just don't do bad things. That's pretty much all I have to say. Just be calm, and you'll get through school a whole lot easier.
Hi. If you can tell from my sibling and other people shouting, I'm Nicole. Hi. Like Rob said, we just got back from senior trip like yesterday, and I'm pretty tired. So after we got back from senior trip, I actually went home and showered and then went straight to my dad's Bible study. And he was reading out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and I started reading in that area and around it, and I found something that I feel like God wanted me to share with you guys. So I might be a little longer than Justin, probably a lot, but I've got a little bit of a Bible study for you guys tonight. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So, what I want to talk to you guys tonight is something that Rob was actually talking to us about yesterday, right before the end of our senior trip. We all got together in the hotel room at like 10 and had a little Bible study, and Rob was telling us about how important it is not to be a stagnant Christian who just goes to church, goes to youth group, firehouse, or whatever, and, oh yeah, I'm a good Christian because I do these things, but someone who has a really awesome and strong relationship with Jesus Christ, who, like, all of his seniors are about to go off to college, and we're not going to have you guys and our home church to be around, but if we have this awesome relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll be able to hold on through it all, and we'll still stay strong in our faith. And it may be seem important for us, but I want you guys to know that it's important for you, even if you're in ninth grade. I mean, I told this to the junior hires. I mean, it's really important for you to have this really strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And it may be a hard thing to hold on to, especially as you're going through like a tough time in your life. But right off in verse 3, before he starts telling us things that we need to add to our faith, he says that his divine power has given us everything we need. God, even if you're seeking him or not, he's there for you, and he will give you everything you need if you ask him. It says in verse 3, it's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this knowledge isn't like a book smart head knowledge. Okay, well, I go to school, or I read the Bible, or I go to Sunday school, and they tell me that Jesus is this, so now I know what Jesus is. This knowledge is an intimate knowledge of, like, a relationship, a really strong relationship. Like, if you have a best friend, you know them inside and out. If you know how they're going to act, what they want to be around, this is what this knowledge is. It's not, oh, well, I know that person across the room has yellow hair. You know, like, it's a really close knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says that we have these qualities that God would like us to add on to our faith, and it starts right off with goodness. And Jesus Christ loves you no matter what you do. Whether you're saved or not, Jesus Christ loves you. But the Bible says that God cannot stand sin. God cannot be with sin. That is why he sent Jesus Christ to this earth. God wanted to save you from hell, and being accepting Jesus Christ brings you into heaven, and that's a great thing. But God sent Jesus down to die on the cross to cleanse us of our sins so that we could be with God. That's what heaven's about. It's not just so that you can escape fire or something. It's to be with God. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should ask him to cleanse you of those sins so that you can be with God. If you've already asked Jesus to enter into this relationship with him, and you're still holding on to something that kind of keeps you away from him, some sort of small or big sin, it's God can't be close to that, and you're not going to have this awesome, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ unless you are a goodness person, which is someone who it's not just does good sometimes, it's someone who's above reproach. If I say, oh, so-and-so did a terrible thing yesterday, one of my friends is going to go, oh, no way. She or she are not going to be, would not do that. I know them, and they are a good good, strong Christian person. They would never do that. Then it says to add on to your goodness knowledge, and this is a head knowledge, because if you're going to have that intimate relationship with somebody, or like that really good best friend, you're going to have to know about them. You're going to have to know what they like and what they don't like, and you're going to have to know how they want people to act around them and things like that. And the way you're going to get to know Jesus Christ is by reading his word. And if you want to be this good person, you're going to want to know what God wants you to do to be good, and you're going to need knowledge for that, and you can study God's word through that. And then it adds on to knowledge, a kind of scary word for us all, which is self-control. Because, I mean, who has ever had a moment where it's just like, I have no idea why I just did that. I have no idea why I just said that. And you're just like, whatever. And so self-control, it's not like, oh my gracious, I have to micromanage every single part of my life because if I do something wrong, it's terrible. I have to be self-controlled. It's not being out of control. Like, self-control is not always under control, but not having a life that's just crazy where people go like, oh my gracious, what's wrong with you? Your life is everywhere. You need to be able to have a little bit of control, because if you have your control in your life, you'll be able to persevere when the bad times come. And that's why I think that perseverance is right after self-control, because perseverance is keep on keeping on. You know, God told us in the Bible, he said, in these days, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's a great thing. But we can't look over the fact that he just said, you're going to have trouble in this life. You're going to have days that are just completely messed up. And if you hold on to God through this, and you already have been practicing that little bit of control in your life and seeking God and everything, then you're going to be able to persevere through those times. And that's actually what godliness is. Godliness, you'd think, would be like, cleanliness is next to godliness. It just makes it sound like it's some sort of, like, really good person thing. And, oh, they're saying I have to be good again. But godliness is seeking God, wanting to be with God, putting your treasure in God. I mean, if you have a crush on somebody, you're going to want to be near them. You're going to want to be around them. If you have a crush on somebody at your school and you know what table they sit at lunch, you're going to want to sit near that table so that you can, the chance maybe they'll talk to you, you know, or something. And you think about this person all the time. God is like, you don't need to seek God even more than that. You want to put your heart in God. I mean, if you put your interests and your focus on God, your heart will follow. It won't be it's 7 a.m. I guess it's time for my devotion. It'll be, I want to know about God. I want to be with God. And then if you spend all this time with God, brotherly kindness and love will come. Because God is love. God loves you so much, and he's just going, if you have this relationship with him, he's going to pour his love into you, and you can't help but overflow. You're just going to, because God loves you so much, and you're going to feel this love so much, you're going to want to love other people. You're going to want to be kind to everybody just because God is so kind to you. The Bible says that, like, we turn it into this little thing like, oh my gracious, okay, I asked Jesus into my heart, you know, but the Bible says that Jesus is inside of you. He wants to live the Christian life through you. It's not, I have to live the Christian life. If you spend all this time with Jesus and you have this really close, burning, not stagnant, you know, intense relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to do these kind things and love people because God will be doing it through you. And I know that's kind of a lot, and you're like, oh my gracious, now I have to do all this stuff. I mean, some of you may have never even seen this passage before. I mean, I only saw it recently, and you're like, oh my gracious, the Bible says I have to do all of that? How can I do all of that? But I mean, don't worry, because in the next verse it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it's not going to just happen all at once. I mean, it definitely isn't for me. I mean, I've just started working on this and I'm sure not done. I mean, like, God will help you through all this. He will give it to you in increasing measure. Because if you start working on it, guess what? Once you get to the part where he's like, when you're in that intense relationship with him, you're going to want to be good because you know that he loves it when you are good. When you're going to want to be kind because he loves it when you are kind. And then suddenly Jesus is going to help you with this goodness. And then like I said earlier, you know, you're this, you want to be this goodness person, so you're going to look in the Bible to see what he wants you to do, and you're not only going to find what he wants you to do, but you're going to find out things about him, and you're going to start having this knowledge about him, and it's just going to keep going in circles. It says add to your faith, like adding, okay, I'm sorry, I'm a person who loves math, so adding is just, it's not just, okay, once and we're done. You mean, you can have math problems where it's like, add, okay, maybe you're done. Nope, add one more. And so, like, it's not, this isn't like a final, okay, just add it and you're done. Like, it's gonna happen in increasing measure. And it says that if you have Jesus Christ help you add this in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this knowledge is just like the one in verse 3 that I started with, the close relationship, I know a lot about this person knowledge. It will help you from being a stagnant Christian is pretty much what it just said. Then it goes on and says, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And I just want to talk to those of you who have already accepted Jesus Christ and who are working on this relationship with him. Don't forget. Do not forget that Jesus Christ has cleansed you of your past sins. Don't just hold on to the, okay, I asked Jesus into my heart, and now I'm going to go to heaven, so it's all okay. Like, Jesus Christ has forgiven you. He's forgiven you for his past sins and for all the sins you do in the future. If you mess up, don't freak out, because Jesus Christ loves you and he's already forgiven you. And I don't know, I just, like, when I read that last night, I was just like, whoa. Because sometimes we forget, like, we forget that Jesus Christ has already forgiven us for our sins, and it's an amazing thing to really think about, really to meditate on. And I think it'll help you so much in your relationship, just if you can look at Jesus Christ and go, thank you. Thank you so much, because we all know that if we have someone that we're kind of indebted to, someone that we are really thankful for, it makes us feel so much closer to them already. The firehouse symbol is a little, you know, stick figure guy with fire on his head, you know, he's kind of like jumping, like, I'm on fire. And, I've been in firehouse since seventh grade. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I'd sit against the wall and just watch people, because that's what I do. And so... I've seen Firehouse change a lot. I think I've seen it go through like 3 different youth pastors, and I've seen so many different people come in and out. And it's okay for youth groups to change, but the one thing that I would love for Firehouse to stay the same is that it's a youth group that's known for people who are jumping around on fire. But not like, oh my gracious, I'm on fire, this is like really scary, stop, drop, and roll, but like people who are like really excited because they are on fire for Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you're on fire for Jesus Christ and you have this really close relationship with him, all this stuff that I was just threw on you guys tonight, it will come. Jesus Christ will help you through it. He will give you everything you need in this life. And so just don't ever let go of Jesus Christ.
Hey guys, my name's Robbie.
Hi Robbie.
Give you a little background of my life for a few minutes. Well, not a few minutes, probably it'll be about a minute. But I was raised in a Christian home. I was around church my whole life. I'm sure a lot of you guys have grown up in church, gone to church every Sunday, been forced to go. And I prayed the prayer when I was like 8, you know, typical little kid. And but I really didn't like until like not too long ago. I hadn't grasped the actual concept of being a Christian, like living your life for God, just being like a sold out Christian, I guess. But until probably like I would say my like sophomore going into junior year, probably I didn't really have a great strong relationship with Jesus. And I went to Firehouse since I was seventh grade, you know, sixth grade, whatever. And I'd always just come. It'd come become like a social hangout sort of for me. Just kind of come in to talk to people, listen to some cool music sometimes. But I really wasn't like coming for the right reasons. Like I wasn't coming to learn more about God. I wasn't coming to grow closer to Him. I was really just coming for the social aspect of it. But I really started to realize that the only way that I can grow my relationship with Jesus stronger is to read the Bible. Like the Bible is the most powerful tool that He's given to us to be able to grow our relationship stronger with Him. Like if you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to have a great relationship, let's be honest. But there's a verse in Joshua, actually there's three of them, in Joshua 1:7-9, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And the focus of these three verses is verse 8, where it says, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth," which is called the book of the law then, because that was when Moses wrote it. It was like the first five books of the Bible. But that nowadays applies to like the whole thing. Don't let everything that you say and do should be revolved around what's written and what God's told us in the Bible. And that's what it means by don't let it depart from your mouth. But then it says, after that it says, meditate on it day and night. And that's where, that's like the problem I struggle with. Like I just saw it as some like boring book full of stories and little like notes of encouragement sort of to like help me get through the day or whatever. But I didn't really like grasp like the full concept of what it was meant for, which was so we could read it to grow our relationship stronger with Christ. But whenever I started reading it, like I had to like force myself to read it. Like it was bad. Like I was to the point of where I didn't want to read it. Like I dreaded, I knew that I had to, but I didn't want to, you know, but cause I thought it was boring. I didn't think I'd be able to, like it because it'd be boring. But, that's what I thought for the longest time until I actually started reading it. Like this book's not boring. You take a week or 2 weeks of reading it every single day and like reading a passage of scripture or a chapter or something a day, it's not going to be boring. And if it is boring, then something's not right with your relationship with God. It shouldn't be boring. It should be exciting because no matter what you read in here, you can learn something. Practical life practices, whether it be with evangelism or being your own Christian life, you can learn something no matter where, no matter what you read or where. But that's kind of my like little encouragement to you guys that really helped me with my decisions in life is reading the Bible. It helped me with hard times I was going through was reading the Bible. And it really, like, your Christian relationship with God should be based off the Bible because He gives you all the guidelines, gives you everything you need to know, and He's going to help you through whatever, like it says there, and He'll be with you wherever you go, like it says in verse 9 there. But that's the gateway to get to Jesus and to know God better is to pray and then read His Word. So, yeah, that's it.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing tonight?
One answer. Great.
Hello, Julia.
Lucas.
All right. Well, my testimony is that I was pretty much born in church. I was raised in church. I was saved at like age 7, 6, something like that. Prayed a prayer and been a Christian ever since then. And I was, you know, the typical deacon's kid and the pastor's kid. And I grew up like that. I had an interesting experience that I guess not many people get to have. But I noticed a really bad trend. At my old church, it wasn't as bad because we had, you know, we were real friendly there. But when I came here 4 years ago, it was like, whoa, this is weird. Because people weren't as welcoming as I thought they would be. Because I was used to, you know, everyone go up and see how I say hey to the new people and be friendly to them and welcome them in. But here it was a little different when I first came here. I mean, at least I had a little bit of an in because I went to school at MICS, but I still felt like I had to muscle my way in. And I see them now these days. People over there in the corner, all talking to the same people every single Wednesday night.
They don't talk to anybody new. They see, you know, judge people by their covers. They don't ever talk to them. And those people are, you know, they seem to forget that those people are lost. And they get burned out. They see Christians as this stained-glass masquerade, I guess would be the way to say it. And, you know, they see these perfect people who look down on them and see their covers, see the rough exterior. They don't see the heart of gold inside. And so I heard about people, I knew people who had left the church after, like, going for, like, two Wednesday nights because they were like, this isn't good. I thought I would get welcomed. I thought, you know, this would be a good place for me to be. And then they just didn't feel it. So it makes them turned off to the Christian and the gospel. And so they're even harder to bring in. So God laid that on my heart this morning. Rob asked us yesterday if we would talk in Firehouse tonight. And when I first heard it, I was like, I don't have anything I can say to anybody. I can't encourage nobody. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't have a whole lot of good advice. But I prayed about it last night, and I prayed about it this morning, and I just kind of felt like this is what God wanted me to say. So I hope you guys got the message. I don't know if I gave it right, but I hope somebody got it. So.
Hi, I'm Happy. Hello. This last weekend, and a whole bunch of the seniors went on a senior trip, and it was, like, a lot of fun. So when y'all get to be seniors, make sure you go on that. And one of the things that we got to do was we went rock climbing. And a cool new thing that I learned was how to belay, and me and Hope Lawson learned how to, I don't know if y'all know what belaying is, but, like, it's connected. You connect the person to the rock, and then you hold them, and if they start to fall, you have to make sure that they don't fall. And it was really kind of scary the first time because the rocks are really high, and so I'm holding these my friends' lives kind of in my hands. And so first I went up and I started to climb, and Hope had me, and then Hope climbed and I had her. And it was really scary because the first few times, like, we would be climbing, and once it got to be the hard part, because, like, the first few steps are always, like, really easy because they start to encourage you. And then all of a sudden, like, you'll be going, and there's no place to put your hand. And you're just like, okay, well, I think I can jump for that one, but it's kind of out of my hand reach. So you're sitting there going, okay, if I jump and I don't grab it and I fall, I'm either, one, going to get caught by Hope, or I'm going to go crashing to the ground. And so I had to trust Hope that she was going to catch me. And the harder it got, the more I had to trust Hope. So by the time I got to the top, and I'm having to jump a few feet to get, well, what it felt like 2 feet, to get to the next one, I had to trust Hope more and more and more. And that's pretty much just like life. When I'm walking through a really easy time where, like, life is great and all my friends around me are Christians and my grades are doing good and nothing's wrong with life, and it's just like, okay, it's really easy to trust God. Like, it's like, okay, God has my back. If I fall, He's got me, but I'm kind of still down low on the rock. And then life starts getting difficult, and all of a sudden I find out one of my friends aren't really a Christian, and they don't want to hear about God, or all of a sudden tests start to get harder, and all of a sudden life just gets difficult, and I have to trust that when I'm trying to do the next thing, that God's going to have me on the little belay, and He's not going to let me fall. He's not going to even let me, like, go a few feet. Yeah. He's not gonna let me fall, like, off the table or anything. So just, I want to encourage y'all as y'all keep going through high school, because y'all still have a few more years left, and even as I go through college, like, it's not gonna be easy. I know now I have to pay for college, and I'm not sure if I'm financially ready to pay for college, and I'm going to have to start a career, and I want to open up a Christian sports camp, and I know for a fact that that's not going to be the best money maker, so I'm going to have to trust God that He's going to provide for me and my family, and y'all have to trust Him that even though whatever you're going through, that He's going to fix it, and He's not going to let you fall.
Hi, guys. For those of y'all that don't know me, my name's Hope. Hi. I've been going to Firehouse since I was, like, in seventh grade. I've seen three different youth pastors go through, just like Nicole. And I was one of those kids that always had to be at Firehouse. Like, I was there every Wednesday. I didn't miss a Wednesday unless I was, like, dying or in the hospital or something. So, which wasn't, it was a rare occasion, so I was here a lot. But one of the things I noticed is as I got older, that I was coming to Firehouse for all the wrong reasons, and that it wasn't that I was coming for my love of Christ and to learn more about Him every week, but I was coming to socialize with my friends and see who was going to be there that week or who was going to be sitting next to me that week. And it just became all about the social life for me, and it was so overwhelming that I had to take a break from Firehouse, and I stepped aside for like a month, and I focused on my relationship with Christ and got right with Him before I came back to Firehouse and hung out with all my friends again. But I'm not telling you that it's not okay to be with everyone, but God tells us to fellowship with others, which is good. But if that's becoming the main aspect of why you're coming to Firehouse, then you need to step aside and get your heart right and check out why you're coming here. But one of the main things that has helped me is having our leaders here, like Matt and Sarah and Rob, and all the different leaders that can relate to you in different ways, that if you go to them, they'll tell you why you should be here, teach you more about why you should be coming to Firehouse. And I don't want anyone to leave here as a senior and regret not going to them because you're out on your own and you don't know why you're going to this church or that church. And it shouldn't become a chore to you. It should be something you love to do. So I'm just encouraging y'all to do that. Thank you.
All right, I'm the last one. I'm going to read you guys a verse real quick and then talk about it and we'll get out of here. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. God put that in my heart because I know, like, when you're in high school, you're going to hang out with the cool kids. I mean, that's just what happens. And if you're a cool kid, everybody wants to hang out with you. Especially when you're getting into high school or going to a new school. But I'm challenging you guys with, like, don't just hang out with whoever, you know. And that's, like, really critical, because if you do that, then you're up for game, you know. You'll do whatever they do. You'll go to parties, hang out with people, do bad stuff. You need to get someone who's accountable to you. I know, like, my big accountability partners, Matt and Rob, like, I'm here all the time. They keep me from doing bad stuff. And, like, I encourage you guys to get someone like that in your lives. That's, like, crucial, because as soon as you start slipping, they're going to pull you back in. I mean, I know, like, I slipped a lot. I'm a high schooler. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but I'm saying, I mean, I've done it. All the seniors that I've talked, we're in the same boat as you guys. We just went through 4 years, and this is what God laid on our heart to tell you. And it's important. That's why we're talking about it. So I'm just encouraging you guys not to slip away and get someone you can trust. And if you don't have anybody, come find one of us. We're glad to keep you accountable. And this isn't saying, like, you shouldn't hang out with other people, but if you start falling away, that someone's going to catch you. So I encourage you guys to keep reaching out to non-Christians, but, I mean, make sure your Christian base is there, and make sure you can trust your friends. Do you want me to pray, and then you do it again? All right, I'm going to pray with you guys real quick. Dear God, I just thank you for this wonderful day, and I thank you for all these kids in here, because you put them here for us to talk to them, and I'm just blessed to have all these seniors around me and all the mentors we have, and I'm just so grateful that you're in our lives, and thank you for just everything you do for us and keeping us safe, and as we go off to college and as these kids move up a grade or maybe move schools, just be with them and keep them safe and find a group of kids that they can trust and be with you, and just help all of our words to stick in their heart. And I just thank you for this day you provided for us. Just amen.